Begin the Gemara on Gemara Amud Aleph. We began touching on this Gemara yesterday. This is a major sugya, the sugya of Moladeh B'Mikses, which obviously, in terms of the important sugyas in Bava Metzia and Shas, this is up there. So we'll try to go through the Gemara today, understand the Machlokas Rabbi and Tosfos, as well as try to flesh out some of the ideas that come up in the context of Migo, Meshav, Aveda, etc., all the ideas that come up in this Gemara. So let us begin. Zakti Gemara, Gimel Amud Aleph, Tani Reb Chiya, right? So Reb Chiya learned, and last time we pointed out that Tani Reb Chiya might be a bit of a mistake or Pleitas Hakolos, that maybe it's Amud Reb Chiya, that's why Tosfos has the Gersan Hey Amud Aleph, because Tani would technically mean that it is a Raisa found in the Tosefta, and if you look at the sources that are quoted here, it doesn't give us any Maramakum in the Tosefta. So it could be it's Amr Rebchiyah. So Rebchiyah says, Manali biyad chavahala ame ein lecha biyadi klum. I walk over to Solomon. I say, Nadav, you owe me $100. Nadav says,
no.
No, nothing. Va'edim idin al sosheyesh lo chamishim zuz. Edim come and they say that you owe 50. No sin lo chamishim zuz v'yishava al hasha'ar shalotehe hoda'as pim gedola mehada'as edim mikal v'chomer. In other words, that the din is that you are chayiv to pay 50 and you're chayiv to swear on 50, because it's impossible that when edim should come and say that you're obligated, that would be less of an obligation that would set in than if I would say it myself. That's impossible, correct? Right? We're trying to faithfully translate the Gemara. It's impossible. Apparently, what the Gemara is saying is that I would have thought that you are only obligated a Shavua when you admit. But if Edim come, so you're not obligated a Shavua, Kal v'chomer teaches me that you're obligated a Shavua in both cases. That's the Gemara so far. That's what we are going to call Tani Reb Chiya, which is referred to in Talmudic nomenclature as Reb Chiya Kameisa. This is the first statement of Reb Chiya. A blot from now on, Dalar Amud Aleph will have the Reb Chiya Basreisa. We'll encounter the second statement of Reb Chiya. Say there? Easy enough. Zak the Gemara Vitana Tuna. Vitana tuna. What does vitana tuna mean? Right, not as I think it was Nadav who suggested yesterday. Vitana tuna means and the tana is a fish.
I don't think I was looking.
That was not you. Okay, so we won't blame it on you. But what is vitana tuna? So tana tuna, Rashi writes in different mesichtes, means different things. Rashi in Yevamah says tana tuna means the name of our tana is Avuna. And Tana Avuna comes together as Tana Tuna. Right? Alternatively, it's Achuna. In other words, it could be that there's somebody who came up and he said, Vitana Tuna came up and said, Shnayim Oichzim Vitalis, Ze Omer Ani Mitzasiha, Vze Omer Ani Mitzasiha. In other words, we are bringing a Raya from our Mishnah to the Yesod of Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya tells me that Hada'as Eidim is Mechayiv HaShavua. Right? That the Eidim come and they say that you owe money. So that tells me you have to swear. Right? That's what Reb Chiya says. Vitana Tuna and Avuna Achuna, somebody came and he said that our Mishnah proves the same thing. How does our Mishnah prove the same thing? Zak the Gemara, right? Or quoting our Mishnah, Tana Tuna, Shnayim Oichzim Betalas, Ze Omer Ani Mitzasiha. Right? The case in our Mishnah is that we are both grabbed onto a talis. I say I found it. You say you found it. So the din in the Mishnah is that what? You swear. Good? Zak the Gemara, at this point, that Shavua in the Mishnah, is it a Shavua d'Arais or is it a Shavua d'Rabbanan? What's the Gemara assuming at this point? Doraisa. How do I know that? Maybe I'm lying to you?
Rashi.
What?
Rashi.
Rashi?
Didn't someone say,
there's no you?
Tell me better than Rashi.
Well, if it was a Jerubana, it wouldn't matter. Because Jerubana can make it work however they want. We're talking about it in the Torah, which one is coming.
Exactly, good. In other words, Hadas Eidim, the fact that Reb Chiya says that Eidim obligated Shavua, that is a din de Oraisa, no? Just like Moda Reb Mixa says Chayim and Shavua. At some point, that would be very bad. Right? Just like Reb Chiya says that Moda Reb Mixa says Chayim and Shavua de Oraisa, so, right? So also, Eidim are Mechayev Shavua de Oraisa. And then the Tana Tuna comes and he says that our Mishnah is also a Shavua de Oraisa. Right? In other words, in our Mishnah, we're both holding on to the Talis, and the din is Yachloiku b'Shavua. That is a Torah mandated Shavua. That's a Shavua de Oraisa. That's what the Gemara says. Now, earlier in the on this page, did we assume that the Shavua is Doraisa or Derabbanan?
Sure.
Right? We said that the Shavua is only. Why? Why did they institute the Shavua?
I
shouldn't justify and grab onto the talis and say it's mine. So that meant that the Shavua is Derabbanan, but now we are saying that this is a Shavua Doraisa. Okay? So Shavua Do'iraisa, the Shavua of Modeh B'Mixas is at play in our Mishnah. Someone has to explain this to me. How do I see in our Mishnah a Shavua of Modeh B'Mixas? Modeh B'Mixas or Eidim B'Mixas, as our case is, right? How do I see that in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah means that we both pick up the talis together. How do I see anything about Eidim B'Mixas?
I would say the closest thing to Modeh B'Mixas in our Mishnah is by far where it says
So maybe you're suggesting it's the second case in the Mishnah. I say the whole talus is mine. You say half of it is yours. But the Gemara is not bringing the proof from that case. No, the Gemara is bringing the case right from the Gemara is bringing the case from the first case in the Mishnah. Right, from Kula Shali, Kula Shali. So where do I see Modeh B'Mixas by Kula Shali, Kula Shali? Gabay. If it was a katu.
Maybe because you're being co-correctable on his part. Like he's saying it's all mine, you're saying no, it's not yours.
It's all mine. So I'm Kaifer Hakol, and where are the Eidim B'Mixas? I think that was an earthquake. Where are the Eidim B'Mixas?
He said,
Exactly. There's an Anan Sahadi, which is like Eidim, that the part that I'm holding on to is mine. Right? So again, I say, this talus is all mine. Gabai says, no, it's all his. Right? So he's Kofer Hakol. He denies my claim. But I'm holding on to it. Right? And because I'm holding on to it, therefore there are Eidim, there's Anan Sahadi, that half of it is mine. Therefore, right, we're assuming that the Shavua in the Mishnah is a Shavua Doraisa, based on Modeh B'Mixas / right, Reb Chiya. Based on Modeh B'Mixas via Eidim. That's what the Gemara is saying. Anan Sahadi, my top is Haidi Dehu, my top is Haidi Dehu, we're going Yeshava. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. And Rashi, by the way, speaks this all out. Right? The Rashi Dimasu Di Dehu. Some of the guys asked me to read this Rashi during Seder, no? Let's read that Rashi inside just quickly. Di Dehu, Zakt Rashi. Shahare Muchsaku Bifanenu. I am Muchsak on the Talis, Bifanenu, in presence of the Bezdin. Bahare Hu Toveyat Kula. You're demanding the entire Talis. Bahaveir Kofer as Kula. And the other guy, the other dude, is denying the whole thing. Shomer Kula Shali. Vaaf Mashata Tafas Biyotra. Is also mine. The anu me'idin also sheyesh lo b'mixas. Anu me'idin, we are testifying that you have half, and therefore mechayev a shavua. Right, mechayev is chaver shavua. Hashar dahainu chetzi sheikei ba'atmo. Beautiful. So the shavua in our Mishnah is a shavua de'oraisa based on modeh b'mixas. Right? That's what the Gemara is assuming at the stage of Tana Tuna. Right? Actually, yeah, that's what I should have said. The Tana of this statement is Bill Parcells. No, that's Tana Tuna. But you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Because no one follows football. Because you're all Ame Ha'aretz.
Big Tuna.
Bill Parcells is called the Big Tuna. That was his name.
It's a little before our time.
Huh?
It's a little before our time.
Before your time. Isn't he like... yeah, he was like a coach last year or something. Very recently. Fine. So that's the Mishnah. Threat the Rashba Akasha. Right, at this point in the Gemara, we're assuming that the Shavuot and our Mishnah is a Shavuot da'iraisa based on Modav and Mixah / Repriya. Right? Frek the Rashba, a question that is very relevant for stuff that we have been discussing way back when. So the Rashba asks, Loy Dami, that the Shavuot in our Mishnah is not like the Shavuot da'iraisa. Remember, Mishnah in Shavuot told me that all the Shavuos which are the Oraisa are Nishba'im. We have two categories of Shavuos. There's Nishba V'lo Mishalem, and there is Nishba V'notel. Right? People remember these words?
Yeah.
All the Shavuos in that are the Oraisa are which of these? A or B? The Shavuos the Oraisas are?
A.
A or B? A, right? So these are the Dairaisas. Nishba v'lo mishalim. The Shavuot in our Mishnah for the Rashba is?
It's for both.
Is the Rashba asks, it is a Nishba v'notel. And therefore the Rashba is bothered by the Kasha, Hayutachin. How could I possibly think that the Shavuot in our Mishnah is a Shavuot Dairaisa when the Shavuot of our Mishnah is a Nishba v'notel? And we don't have any Nishba v'notels that are da'i ra'isa.
It says at the beginning that it could be that they're only that they're swearing to keep their half.
So it could be they're swearing to keep their half. In other words, it could be the Shavuot of our Mishnah is a Nishba v'lo mishali. But I see from the Rashba in Gimel Amar Aleph, gentlemen, that the Rashba, Rabbi Solomon ibn Aderet, died in the year 1310. When was he born?
I don't know.
We don't know because we don't know when any Rishon was born, really. So the Rashba writes that the Shavuot of our Mishnah is a Shavuot of Nishba v'notel. That's what I see from this Rashba here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And this proves that I'm right. What do I mean by that? The first year we gave this semester. Right? And the Rashba, by the way, asks Akasha, so how could the Gemara have a Havamina that the Shavuot is a Dairaisa? So the Rashba answers, you know what, we knocked this Havamina out anyway, so we could have knocked it out for a different reason. That's what the Rashba says. He writes, Kevan de lokoi lo daikinam bekulihai. Since this is only a Havamina, it doesn't last for so long, so we're not so medayik in it, okay, big deal. That's what the Rashba says. But Zetmin, right, okay, Yiddish, Zetmin means we see from the Rashba, the Rashba is assuming that the Shavuot in our Mishnah is a Shavuot of Nishba v'Noitel. And we pointed out that was a Machlokes Rashba and Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. No? That the Rashba on Beis Amud Aleph asked the Kasha. A little different than Tosfos asked the Kasha about what is Bava Metzia following, right? And the Rashba answered, Bava Metzia is following the case of Makir Kalev Uspara Biyarach. If I recognize my Spara by someone else, and I am Nishba v'Noitel, no? You know there's a guy across the street who comes here sometimes to sell books?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm always suspicious that the books that he's selling might not really be his, no?
Well,
I probably shouldn't say this on tape, but right? The guy comes to sell books. So let's say I see the book salesman and he's selling a Rashba and I say, hey, I know that Rashba, that's my Rashba. How do I know that's my Rashba? Well, you see on Daf Gimel, I write a note, look back at the Rashba and base on an office, so she tosses. Right? It's a riot, it's my Rashba. Right? So what's the din? The din is Nishba v'notel, no? I swear and I take the Rashba. That's a Shavuot of Nishba v'notel. So the Rashba that sins, the end of Bava Kama talks about that case. So Bava Metzia begins with the case of Shnei Maron Sebetas, which is also Nishba v'notel. Meaning to say, the Rashba is assuming, right? The Rashba is Lashitaso. The Rashba is assuming that the Shavuot of our Mishnah is a nishba v'noitel shavua, not a nishba v'lo mishalem shavua. If you look in the Ritva, he disagrees with the Rashba. Now, I'm not talking about the famous Ritva. I'm talking about his ugly stepbrother, the Ritva. Right? What I mean, there are two different versions of the Ritva. Huh? There's the Yeshanim and Chadashim. Right? There's the old Ritva that they call it, and the new Ritva. In the old sets of Ritva that were printed, what they called the Ritva is not really the Ritva. It's really some other region that lived around the same time as the Ritva, but it's not really the Ritva. Right? The real Ritva is the beginning of this book. The end of this book, you have another Ritva. They call it the old Ritva, the Ritva Yeshanim. Right? So in the old Ritva, on this daf, he argues on the Rashba. The old Ritva writes that the Shavua Bar Mishnah is a Shavua of Nishba v'lo Mishalim, and consequently it's a Shavua D'Oraisa. Okay? So the same machlokas Tosis and Rashba that we were speaking about on Beis Amar Aleph is also machlokas Rashba and Ritva on Gimel Amar Aleph, and it happens that the Rashba is Lashitaso, which means that the Shtikl Torah might be correct. Good? Ready to move on? Now, question, guys. Moedah b'miksas. Where in the Torah do I know that Moedah b'miksas is chayiv shavua? Where in Pentateuch, right, do I find scripture that indicates, and I need scripture in Pentateuch because we're talking about a biblical law, where in a Torah do I see Moedah b'miksas obligated on the Shavua? Ki huzeh. That's right. Tosis, the last line of the Tosis, no? The last line of the Tosis says that ki huzeh is a pasuk that teaches me two things. Ki huzeh teaches me that Moedah b'miksas is chayiv b'shavua. Ki huzeh means this is the one. I say this is the one. Others, I'm a chayiv this, not that. That means Moedah b'miksas, so then I swear. I go to Bezin to swear. I go to Bezin to swear. And Tosis also says I learned from Kihuzah that Moedah b'miksas is chayiv and Kofar HaKol is pater. Now, gentlemen, if I have a pasuk that tells me that Moedah b'miksas is chayiv on the Shavua, so how could Rabbi Chiya extend it to Edom? Usually if I have a pasuk that tells me that what? That I'm only obligated because of the pasuk, because God said so, no? And if God wouldn't say so, so I wouldn't be obligated. So how can I extend Moedah b'miksas' shavua to Hadas Eidim shavua if by Moedah b'miksas I need a pasuk implying that short of the pasuk there's no shavua, right? That's the kasha. So Yehuda. So Kal V'chaimer tells me that I'm chayiv in Shavua, and we'll have to figure out the parameters of this Kal V'chaimer exactly. That will be the Gemara on Amud Beis, right? But in shorthand, what we're trying to say is something along these lines, right? What we're trying to do is we're trying to say, you know, we have to get underneath the hood. We have to figure out what is the reason why Moedah b'miksas is chayiv in Shavua. And once I understand the reason why Moedah b'miksas is chayiv b'shavua, so then I could extend that reason and say Edom is also chayiv b'shavua. Right? That's sort of what Kal V'chomer means, which is that I'm entering the realm of logic. I'm saying that there's a logical reason. If it's just a gzeiras ha'kasuv that Moedah b'miksas is chayiv b'shavua, if it's not logic, so then I can't extend it to Edom. I need some logical basis to be able to extend it. And the Gemara now is going to work on what the logical basis of Moedah b'miksas is, right? At first we're going to think that that logical basis is unique to Moedah b'miksas. Then we'll say, but we will extend it possibly to something else, to Edom b'miksas. That's the general overview of the Gemara. And let's learn the Gemara inside. The logical basis over here will be the subject of a huge dispute between Rashi and Tosus. Right? And that's what we have to talk about right now. Zakhli Gemara. May shaloi tehi hadas piv gadol mehadas edim. 6 lines from the bottom. May shaloi tehi hadas piv gadol mehadas edim mikal v'chomer. Why do you have to say that we have a kal v'chomer to tell me that hodas piv cannot be greater than edim? Why do I need a kal v'chomer to say that? Apparently, and this is I'm paraphrasing a line from the Shita Mekubetzes. Apparently, I would have thought that only hodas piv is chayiv a shavua, hodas edim is not chayiv a shavua. And they need a kal v'chomer to remove me from that misconception. Right? Good? Zok the Gemara, shelo tomer. I should not say. Hoda'as piv hu deramya rachmona shvua alei kederaba. I might have thought that only hoda'as piv is chayiv a shvua based on the statement of Rabba. The Amar Rabba, that Rabba said, Mipnei ma umra Torah. Stop. Stop. What are the problems with those four words? Mipnei ma umra Torah. You're both, I mean, you're wrong, you're right, but
if it's from the Torah, why don't we get a kal v'chomer?
More fundamental? What's the question? Mipnei ma umra Torah. To teich the verter. Translate the words. Mipnei ma umra Torah.
How can I ask why the Torah is saying?
How can I ask why does the Torah say something? No? I have a general principle that I don't ask why the Torah says something. This is actually something that we discussed in Halacha Shir last week when we spoke about cooking basar b'cholav. Anyone remember? Remember Kesef Mishnah that we spoke about in terms of cooking basar b'cholav? What did the Kesef Mishnah say?
It'll lead to eating,
right? That, and we asked the kasha on the Kesef Mishnah, we said, Rabbi Kesef Mishnah, how can you tell me that the reason why I don't cook basar b'cholav is it'll lead to eating, right? We don't do that. We say the reason I don't cook basar b'cholav is because the Torah said don't cook basar b'cholav, right? I don't care about the reasons. Generally, I follow a principle of... What's that?
I don't know.
Can people not read my handwriting? Because if so, then...
Lo
darshinan taima dekra. What's lo darshinan taima dekra? I don't try to figure out the reason for psukim. I assume that when Hashem says something, it applies clear across the board. No?
Yeah, but we try to find...
Yeah, of course we try to find reasons in the sense of... that we want to try to understand what Hashem meant. But the reasons I try to find, do they have any halachic significance? In other words, if the Rambam tells me in Moira Nevuchim that the reason why I use an esrog on the tabernacle holiday instead of a peach, so the Rambam tells me I use an esrog, not a peach, because peaches rot. And an esrog is a unique fruit that it really won't rot over 8 days. If I try to have a peach and use it for, let's say, 7 days, the sukkah is shaking it all 7 days, it will rot, no? When's the last time you saw a peach that didn't rot after 7 days? But an esrog is a special type of fruit that doesn't rot. That's what the Rambam says, no? Now, is that a halachic statement, or is that not a halachic statement? All of Mora Nevuchim, is Mora a halachic text or not?
Logical.
What?
The logic.
It's a logical text. It's not legally binding. In other words, if I'd be able, and today we could do this, we could genetically modify fruits, no? I shoot a little ribosome here, a little enzyme there, chick chop, boom, I have a peach that's going to last for 7 days.
Yep.
Is that kosher to use for an esrog?
No, because once you said the halacha, you don't deviate.
That's what I call loy darshinan taima dekra. That's exactly what it means, no? That the reasons that I give are not halachically
binding,
significant, meaningful, pick your adjective. Reasons don't matter. So, frit, feshteyach nisht. That's also Yiddish. By the end of the semester, hopefully you guys will know a few things. One is how to navigate Rishonim nicely, how to learn the Sugya and enjoy it. Two, to understand a few basic Yiddish words. Right? And we have to discuss which of these two goals is more important, knowing Yiddish and knowing Ritva's, but that's for a different time. So Fashteyach Nish, I don't understand. Right? How can Rabba say Mipnei Ma Amre Torah? Why does the Torah say that Modim and Mixas has to swear? Right? Lecha Ora, what Rabba is telling me is Darshinon Taima Dekra, because as we'll see from the Gemara, we are giving halachic weight to the statement of Rabba. So this is a Bam Pasha. The Pashtus is, okay? The dirty little secret that's out there that we don't like to talk about because it bothers us is that this Gemara sounds like Darshinon Taima Dekra, no? The Rambam contradicts himself famously. Whether he passes Darshinon Taima Dekra or Darshinon Taima Dekra, I think we may have mentioned this last week in the Halacha Shir. The Rambam in the context of Lo Tachbo Beged Almona, right? Remember, the Torah says, I'm not allowed to take as collateral the garment of an almona, right? And this Machlekes HaTanaim, does that apply to a rich woman also, right? Who has other clothing to wear. Maybe it only applies to a poor woman, and there's a concern that every night I'm going to come to return her pajamas to her, right? So people might say, there's some hanky-panky going on, right? So that's the issue, no? So Rabban Paskin's over there, that we assume that the din applies ani, that almana bein ani bein ashira. Right? In other words, that we paskin that the reason of the taira doesn't matter. Loidashin in time of the krah. Yet the Rabban Paskin's that intermarriage, right? The Torah only says the law of intermarriage by the seven nations. This is something that they don't teach you in high school because they're worried. This is a dangerous statement.
No,
they can't. No? What? It's a dangerous statement that the maybe intermarriage is only rabbinically forbidden. It's only the Sidra Bonan. Taisus in Avodah Zarah, on that, the Torah says, Lo Sischatein Bon. The Torah says, don't marry them. Who's the them? The them is the seven nations around. Right? So the Gemara says, don't marry those seven nations. That would have, perhaps, right? The Torah says both. Lo tischatein bam bitcha lo sitach levno beno lo sitein le whatever. I forget how it goes, but you can figure it out. Right? So the fact is that the Torah says that this is an intermarriage of man to woman, woman to man. Right? Both ways. But the Torah only says the Isser... What? The Torah only says the Isser of intermarriage in the context of... I'm missing something good. In the context of the seven nations. Yet the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisurei Bi'ah paskins that the law of intermarriage mide oi raisa applies to all nations. So you can't marry a nice goyish Canadian. Right? Because even though Canadians are probably not one of the seven... sorry, Zobin. Right? Even though Canadians are probably not one of the seven nations... I used to be a Canadian at one point. Oh, that's different. That's good. Whatever. It's a long story.
You saw the light.
My father's Canadian, and I was born in the 1970s, where there were like very few kids born in Canada. So the Canadian government passed a law that if you have one Canadian parent, and you were born until 1978 or something, so you're entitled to apply for Canadian citizenship and get it without any difficulty. Now this is a good thing, because Canadian healthcare is not a bad zah. So I could be a Canadian if I want to. I have a Migo. Migo. It's Biyadi, no? Oh. Fine.
So what's his reason, by the way,
for making Deiraisa? So what's the Rambam's reason? So the Rambam's reason for making it is the Rambam says, well, figure out, why does the Torah say not to intermarry? The Torah says don't intermarry because they might lead you astray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Oh, because...
And therefore, it applies to all nations in the world. So the Rambam seems like he paskins in Perek Beis of Yisurei Bi'ah in the context of intermarriage.
Wait, maybe he just used
the Rambam seems to pass in that Darshinon time of the Kriya. So there's a contradiction in Rambam.
No,
I'm only bringing this down to say that the approach of Darshin and time of the Kriya is not completely rejected from mainstream Judaism. If anything, Bava Metzia Daf Gimel seems to tell me that Darshin and time of the Kriya, Solomon.
It's not. Maybe he's saying you can use that. You can't use it to make a heter, but you can use it to make an iser.
That wouldn't be true. In other words, if the Torah says one thing, the Torah says don't marry the seven nations. That's all the Torah says. So it's the don't marry the seven nations. How can I extend the din d'oraisa? Maybe I could say that the rabbonim have koach to extend it. Right? Maybe say there's an iser rabbonim to intermarry the other nations. But how could I assume there's a din d'oraisa? To assume that there's a din d'oraisa has to mean that I'm saying darshin and time of the Kriya. And by the way, it's not my chiddush. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, says that the opinions who hold the intermarriages d'oraisa hold that darshin and time of the Kriya. And the Rambam paskins that intermarriage is d'oraisa. So it's a pella, it's a famous stira, famous contradiction in Rambams. Let's go on. Ready, Yehuda? You with me? Let's go on.
Is that a yes?
So I'm not resolving this. I'm just saying that our Gemara seems to imply that darshin on time of the Kriya, and don't think it's nutty, because, okay, fine, so the Gemara might say it, but the Rambam also passing is that way in one place. Okay, we will have to put this in our pipes and smoke it. I don't know.
Whenever you see that phrase a lot, like,
what?
Every time he made like a good point, he's like, put that in your pipes.
Okay, let's go on. What? Yeah, that's partial. Okay, Rabbosai, let's go on. So why would I think that only Maida b'mixus is chayav v'shavu not edim? Zok the Gemara k'da Rabba, like Rabba said, the Amar Rabba, that Rabba told us in a bunch of places in Shas, mipnei ma'om retorah moda mixus hatayna yishava. Rabba, right, let's read the full statement of Rabba first, and then we'll go back and we'll try to explain it both according to Rashi and according to Tosis. Good? So Rabba says, mipnei ma'om retorah moda mixus hatayna yishava. Why does the Torah say? In other words, Rabba is telling us on the level of da'iraisa. Why is it that you swear? So then Rabba comes up with this idea of chazaka ein adam me'iz panav bifnei bal chovo. What does that mean? Chazaka ein adam me'iz panav bifnei bal chovo. Chazaka means that there is a umdina. I won't be brazen to my balchov. You owe me money. I should say, I owe you money, right? I should say, I owe you money, Shmo, right? I'm not going to walk up to you and say, I owe you nothing, right? People don't generally lie to the balchov. Now, there is a bit of a machlekes harishonim on this nekuda as well. Is that chazaka because you did me a favor? Or is the chazaka even if you didn't do me a favor? You see, I could owe you money because you lent me money, which means you did me a favor. And I won't have the chutzpah. Me'iz means chutzpah, no? I won't have the chutzpah to look you in the eye and say, I don't owe you money when you just did me a big favor and you lent me money to help me pay off my tax bill from this year or whatever it is. You lent me money. I'm not going to look you in the eye and say, right? You did a favor for me. I'm not going to look you in the eye and say, I don't owe you money. That's the way Rashi learns. What?
You have people who do that.
Yeah, sometimes kind of. So those people,
they're malicious people.
Those are bad people, right? The Gemara has an assumption that most of humanity are good people, right? The overwhelming majority. And there's a chazaka, ein adam me'iz panav bifnei bal chovo, that most people won't look their gift horse in the eye and say, I don't owe you money. That is the way Rashi understands this in Bava Kamma. Tosfos there, again, we're not talking about our Rashi and Tosfos yet. Tosfos over there disagrees and says, ein adam me'iz panav bifnei bal chovo is even if you didn't do me a favor. If I owe you money, right? Why? Not because you did me a favor. Let's say I was mazik you, no? Let's say my shark goes and tramples on your tomatoes. So now I owe you money. Would I look you in the eye and lie and say, I owe you no money? Tosfos says, no, you wouldn't. Even
even though that debt did not come about because of a favor, still ain't other meis ponav b'fnei bal chovo. That's Taisus Hashita. Fine. So far, let's get Rava. Why is it the Taisus says ma'ida b'mixas hatayna should swear? Answer: ain't other meis. V'hai b'kulei boy d'nachbere. This guy b'kulei boy d'nachbere. What does that mean? Bekule, all of it. Boy denachbere. He wants to
deny.
I want to say I owe you nothing. Right? That's a good assumption. The hadol kafri. The reason I don't deny it, mishum de ein odem is pana. The ha. Right? The reason I don't deny everything is because I won't have the chutzpah to deny everything. The high bekule boy delay. Right? Opposite extreme. Really, I should say I owe you
everything.
You're saying $100. I'm saying $50. The Gemara is now trying to play psychological mind games and figure out what you meant. Really, Bekule by the Lachbere. Really, I want to say I owe you nothing. I can't say I owe you nothing. Ain't no demeis. Really, I should say I owe you $100. How come I don't say I owe you $100? V'haydelo oda, ishtemuti hu dekam ishtamet minei. What's that mean? Procrastinating. Good. He is delaying. Sava ad havelo zuzi paranale. Right? I think, you know what? I don't have money now. No? I am illiquid, as the expression goes. Right? I don't have the money now. So therefore, right? I say I don't owe it to you, but I don't mean I don't owe it to you. I'm not a bad person, right? What I really mean is, when I get money, I'll pay you up. I'll pay you back. Rami shavua alei ki hecha delo delei b'kulei. Avahados eidin delo kolamei v'hachi emalo kamashon and kavachaymer. Okay, so the Gemara is saying that there is a sevara why moda b'miksas is chayiv shavua. And only by the mixas, right? In other words, Adam is not Chayv Shavua, and that Svara is called Rava. Because a rabbi tries to understand the din of Modeh B'Mixas, and what Rava is basically telling me about Modeh B'Mixas is, if I would summarize it, I'd say that Modeh B'Mixas implies a natural tension. On the one hand, I should say I owe you everything. On the other hand, I should say I owe you nothing. Right? I should say I owe you everything because I'm not going to be meis. I don't have the brazenness, the chutzpah to say I don't owe you. On the other hand, I should say I owe you nothing because I want a delay to pay you up. So these are two extremes, and comes along Modeh B'Mixas, and the Shavua is, I would say, a balance between chutzpah and delay. Right? The reason why we put in the Shavua is because we're trying to balance these two opposite extremes. That's Rabbah Svara. Okay? Fairly simple at this point. Good. Take a step back. So the Gemara assumes that this Svara of Rabbah only applies to Modeh. It won't apply to Adam, and therefore maybe there's no Shavua by Adam. That's why Reb Chaya tells me there's a Kavachaymer. That's what the Gemara means. Now comes the hard lifting. The hard lifting begins with the question of Mipnei Ma Amra Taila. There are different ways of understanding this question. Mipnei Ma Amra Taila. We gave one explanation so far, which does not preclude the others. How do we understand Mipnei Ma Amra Taira? That we have it on the board? Yeah, Aryeh?
That you can Darshin and Tamad Krah.
Right, so one explanation is Darshin and Tamad Krah, that we're trying to figure out why did God say Modeh B'Mixas swears? Right? But the Rishonim go a step further. The Rishonim say we're not just asking a question of what's the reason, but we're asking, right, a question of a why, in terms of that there is another halacha that contradicts that Modeh B'Mixas swears.
Right? This is just Darshin and time of the Kura. We just want to know the reason. Explanation number two, which is the way Rashi says it, is we're asking more than just why does the Torah say in terms of give me the reason behind the Torah. How does Rashi say it? Who wants to fill me in? Meshav Avedo. Okay. Tifaresh, explain what that means. Yehuda?
Not explanation, but question.
Okay, questions are also accepted.
I actually want to say it's Meshav Avedo. In the case of Meshav Avedo, where it is sort of mixed as, if you mix it with Avedo, you wouldn't have to swear.
I don't swear by Meshav Avedo, and that's the kasha that Rashi is explaining on the Gemara. If I am Meshav Avedo, right? In other words, how come Moedav and Mixas swears, right? When Meshav Avedo, Rashi is saying every Moedav and Mixas is really a Meshav Avedo, because really what I'm doing is I'm saying I owe you some of the money, which means I'm giving you something that's extra. Part of the money is an extra nachatis. I'm giving you a little extra. So therefore, if I'm giving you a little extra, so I am putter from swearing by Meshav Avedo. And Rashi's asking, how come Modav Mixas swears when Modav Mixas is fundamentally like Meshav Avedo and Meshav Avedo does not swear? Now, what's the case of Meshav Avedo that does not swear? Who wants to fill me in? I find the lost item. Why on earth would I have to swear?
The case I give an example is you find a wallet with $20 in it, and you give back to the guy who bought it, and the guy says there's $50 in the wallet.
Exactly. That's what the Mishnah Gittin says. I give you a wallet back. Now the Mishnah Gittin has a discussion. The Gemara Gittin has a discussion. It could be that the case is that there were two items lost, or two $10 bills, and they were tied up together. I return one of them to you. So you say, where's the other one? Okay, but those are detailed within the case. But the fact is, Rashi is saying that it should be like Meshav Avedo, and Meshav Avedo we know is Pater from a Shavua. So also, Moedav Mixas is Pater from a Shavua, because Moedav Mixas is by definition a type of Meshav Avedo. The fact that I say I owe you some of the money, when I don't have to say that, means I'm giving you something extra, so that's like Meshav Avedo. That's what Rashi learns. Gentlemen, according to Rashi, is Meshav Avedo a din de Oraisa or a din de Rabbanon?
Explain the question.
I have a principle elsewhere. You know what? I'll tell you where the principle is. Gittin Memches. It says, I find an Avedo. Right, like you gave me the case. They're $20 now. I return it to you. You say, but there are 50 in the wallet. Right, so the din is I don't swear. Does that mean that min ha-Torah I should swear? And the rabbi said, we don't want you to swear because if you have to swear, you might not be likely to return the metziah, and we want people to return items. Right. So is Meshav Avedo putter from a shavua? Is that Potter only midrabbanon, but not Torah yerchayiv? Or do I assume that Meshav Avedo that is Potter from Shavua is a din d'oraisa? Right? On the level of d'oraisa, when I return that wallet to you, am I supposed to swear? And the Chachamim said we don't want you to swear because we know that if you would have to swear, you wouldn't return the lost item. Right? That means that Meshav Avedo is a din d'rabbanon. Alternatively, I could say that Meshav Avedo is not a din d'rabbanon. Meshav Avedo is a din d'oraisa. According to Torah law, I find a mitziah, I return it to you. You say there were $50 in it. I say no, only 20. Here's the 20. Right? I say here's the 20. So then, it could be that min ha-toira am pater from shavua. So which one is it? Right?
It's probably
d'oraisa. It's d'oraisa.
Shmuel. Also d'oraisa. Can you say that it's like shul's shomer?
So that's later Rashi.
Does the Rosh say something like that?
Yeah.
That he says that's like Shavuos Hashomrim. Show me where.
No, the Rosh. Rosh
is
the Rosh.
Oh, the Rosh. Yeah. So that Rosh within the Rimagash, just hold it for a few minutes. We'll get there in a couple minutes. I think it'll confuse us if I address that point now, so I don't want to. But what Ari is saying is a good point. Yeah.
You
know,
agree with
that. Right? We're assuming that's a din d'oraisa according to Rashi. Why? Because the dead giveaway is mipnei ma'amra toira. We're asking a kasha on the din d'oraisa of moed b'miksas. Why did Hashem b'chachmaso tell me that a moed b'miksas swears? Rabba says we should assume that Modem Mitzvah is Meshav Aveda, and Meshav Aveda does not swear according to Dinda Oraisa. So why did Hashem say that we do swear? Right? So we're asking a kasha on the level of where this kasha is assuming that Meshav Aveda is a Dinda Oraisa. Good? So the Rishonim all have big problems here. Big problems. The problems are, first of all, if you look in the Mishnah in Gittin, Memches Amid Beis, the Mishnah in Gittin says, Hamoitzi Mitzia Lo Yishava, Zot the Mishnah, right? Motzi Mitzia means Mishavir Lo Yishava, Mipnei Tikun HaOlam. Right? What does the Tikkun Olam mean? And by the way, all the Mishnahs at the end of the fifth pack in Gittin about Tikkun Olam, right? You know, like the famous Reform concept in Judaism of Tikkun Olam. If you don't know where it's found, that's the whole fifth pack in Gittin. It's about Tikkun Olam. So Tikkun Olam, right?
Bachman said the word never exists before in 1940s Germany.
Ask him about Gittin Memches.
Well,
in the days. We speak about Tikkun Olam all the time. We don't speak about it as much as the Reform do. But we speak about it. We believe that there are 613 mitzvahs, not just one. I'll say it like that. But the fact is, the Pashtus in the Mishnah there in Gittin is that Meshav Aveda is a Din Rabbanan. That's what the Din Tikkun Olam means. No Saf Al Kach. More than that. Turn to Rashi on Dalet Amid Beis. The Rashi, Dalet Amid Beis. Okay, everyone should have a Rashi on Dalet Amid Beis. Rashi, two lines from the top. Eino Ela Kamei Shev Aveda. Tell me what Rashi is saying on Dalet Amid Beis. Eino Ela Kamei Shev Aveda. Dalet Amid Beis, 4b. Oh, in Gittin, Memches Amid Beis. And then on Nun Aleph Omer Aleph, it continues.
Nun Aleph?
Nun Aleph. In other words, the Mishnah has like 10 cases of Tikkun Olam, right? And the Mishnah mentions it in the Meshav Aveda. Then the Gemara Nun Aleph elaborates on that in the Meshav Aveda. But it's found in the Mishnah Memches and the Gemara Nun Aleph. But look at the Rashi, Eino Ala Kamei Shev Aveda. What are the keywords in Rashi? Chachamim Patrus Mei Shev Aveda Min HaShvua Min Gazadin D'Rabbanan. Min HaToira I should swear. The Rabbi said I don't swear. So all the Rishonim ask on Rashi that Rashi obviously has a different understanding of Tikkun Olam. In that Mishnah, Rashi over here seems to be saying that Meshav Aveda is a din d'oraisa, but that's so sir Rashi on Dalet Amid Beis. There are mahalchim that are given. If you look in the Chidushei Haran, he has an approach, but right now we'll file this away because this is mafteach number one for understanding Tosfos. Okay, the first point in terms of understanding why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi might be what we just said. Let's hold it for a minute, Yehuda.
If you want to suggest that Meshav Aveda is really Shavua D'oraisa, you should there are one takeaway.
Right.
To compare it to Modem Mitzvah, we say you swear because we're afraid that you're delaying you're delaying payment. If you really want to pay, you just don't have money right now.
Well, the delaying of payment is one half of the reason why I swear. It's delaying and chutzpah. Right, there's two.
So, if you're going to use, if you're going to compare the Mishav Mitzvah Veda, where the guy had $2,000 in the law, he took out 30, and the right, really the rest of the shoots were, the Rabbanan say, since we're Hashash, if he really did steal the $30, he's not going to swear.
Right.
We're saying because of Hashash, he was over is there a rest of stealing, if he's not going to swear? So, like,
it doesn't make sense.
That's the point. But it's one thing with Shua for the purpose of giving him back money.
No, so, I mean, again, in that Mishnah and Gittin, the point is understandable, that I want, we want to help people return Avedas. Right? If the din would be that when I'd return an Aveda, I'd have to swear because the person I return it to would say, well, where's the rest of it? So then I would be reluctant to return the Aveda. So to avoid
why?
That...
What?
Because I don't want to have... People don't like Shavuot.
See, again, this is like something that we mentioned a few times. Me'ikar had in there many times that you have to swear, and people generally were very scared of Shavuot. So Shavuot is a scary, scary business. So if returning an Aveda to you would mean that it's likely I will have to swear, I would be reluctant to return that Aveda to you.
And that's why Chachamim said that Motzi Metzia Lo Yishav and they took in the Olam.
We want people to return lost items. It helps keep the world operating. So therefore, we took away the Shavuah. And that's what the path is in that Mishnah in Gittin is. But that is so, and that's what Rashi is saying in Dalam and Beis, that's so say Rashi on Gilmot Maralaf.
I can understand that. The only thing I want to add is that Mishnah Veda isn't itself a Dindar Arisa.
According to Rashi here.
The din of Mishnah Veda
is Dindar Arisa. But the fact that Mishnah Veda doesn't swear, which by the way is the topic in both Mitzvah Daf Gimel, how come the Torah says Modern Mitzvah swears and not Mishnah Veda? Right? The topic is, do you swear or don't you swear? Right? Okay. So we'll file this away in terms of the difficulty within Shitas Rashi. Now let's learn the according to Rashi, let's just go slowly in terms of the entire Gemara. Then I want to talk with you about Tosis. Why does Hashem say, Mipnei Ma'om Mitzvah, that Modim Mitzvah swears? Zogt Rashi, Modim Mitzvah should be a Meshiv Aveda, and you should not have to swear. What's the answer of the Gemara? Mipnei Ma'om Mitzvah Mitzvah Tanishoga. It should be Meshiv Aveda, Zogt the Gemara. Chazot Ge'ino Demeiz Pun, Mipnei Ma'om. What does that mean? That means Macha Ora.
He's not going to light the guy's face.
I'm not going to light the guy's face, and therefore...
He's not going to fully light it.
You can't. There's no comparison to Meshav Aveda.
It doesn't count as Meshav Aveda. But Meshav Aveda means that really I am giving you something extra. Something I don't have to give you. I'm giving it to you. I'm a nice guy. The Gemara answers, maybe you're not a nice guy. Right? Maybe Chazoka ain't of the main pun of the Bachobo. Maybe really I would want to say I owe you everything. It's not that I'm giving you extra, right? Maybe I'm giving you less than you really should get. Right? According to Rashi, right, the Gemara's have aminas that you're a Meshav Aveda. The maskana is, I'm not a Meshav Aveda because of Ein Oda Meis Panav Dei Bachola. That's where Rashi went to the Gemara. Taisvis. Yeah, Shmuley. Do you go by Shmuley, Shmuel?
What I'm looking.
Shmuel. Ignatz?
Sure.
Fine.
I'm down with that.
Ignatz. Yeah, let's go on.
How can you still say it's like Meshav Aveda? Because if I find a wallet on the street belonging to some random guy, and then how can you say that the chazaka on it, they're not going to have clothes going up to it all?
Again, when the Gemara's have, I'm return. It's not. I'm returning it to the guy. I am a Meshav Aveda. It's not just I find the Aveda and then I keep it. I'm a Meshav Aveda. I find the Aveda, then I locate the guy who lost it and I return it to him.
You don't have anything to do with him. You don't owe him. You don't actually have to give him money. You're a nice guy, but like.
So again, so this Gemara fits in better with which we had two explanations when we read the Gemara.
about in other meyers panav. We had one explanation I said was a Rashi in Bava Kamma, the other was a Tosis in Bava Kamma. What you're doing is you're fleshing out, right, that the pshat in other meyers panav ne bachovo is probably based on the fact that I owe you money, not because you did me a favor, right? And that's when the Tosis is kashas. There's a Tosis in Bava Kamma. It's probably one of the longest Tosis in the universe. And Daf Kuf Zayin Amar Aleph. It's a massive Tosis. So Tosis makes your point there. It's an excellent point. Yashar Koach. Very good. Very good point. That's one of the tininess that Tosis has on Rashi. Okay. Let's go on. Tosis. Tosis says, Mipnei ma omre Torah Yishava. How does Tosis understand the kasha? It's a third explanation. Why does the Torah say, why does God say that Modav makes us swear? Tosis understands the kasha is what? Migo. In other words, I should not have to swear. Instead, you should believe me when I say I owe you 50 of the $100. Believe me that I should not swear because I could have been Kaifer Hakol. Right? Tosa says it's a migu of Kofer Hakol. No? That's Tosa. Okay. Now. Right? In other words, what Tosis is asking is that I should not have to swear because, right, you're telling me I'm moved of a mixas and I have to swear? No, I could. Believe me that what I'm saying, that I owe you 50 and only 50, because if I would be lying, I would have said I owe you nothing. So the and if I would say I owe you nothing, I wouldn't have to swear because kofar hakol is pater from a shavua. So believe me, as Moldav and Mixas man, that I don't have to swear because if I would have lied, I would be kofar hakol. That's what Tosfos says. Now, why does Tosfos not learn like Rashi? Why does Rashi not learn like Tosfos? Basic question in Judaism. Hey, Pachimu.
Because they did when I can talk about.
What?
They agreed when I can talk about.
You know, trust me. I find stories. I tell jokes. We'd find something to talk about. We wouldn't be bored. That's not pshat.
One was French.
What?
One was French.
One was German. That's not pshat. Okay. We have a certain mahalach already, which is that Tosfos might be arguing with Rashi about
the rise of the Rabbanan.
Mishavah Bidas, the rise of the Rabbanan. Remember, Rashi is boxing himself into a corner. And Rashi is saying that the din of Mishavah Bidas is a din of Iraisa. Tosfos, right, perhaps is going to say, and I think this is pretty poshut, Tosfos is going to say, you know what, Mishavah Bidas is not Iraisa. Right? Because the Mishnah in Gittin, the Memches, says, Hamotzi Mitzi Elo Yisham, they tikkun ha'olam. They tikkun ha'olam sounds like it's Derabbanan. So Meishu Abed is a din Derabbanan, Tosfos says. And therefore, I'm forced to argue on Rashi. And I have to come up with this new pshat of Migo. Right? That, I think, is stage one. That Rashi and Tosfos disagree with whether Meishu Abed is a din Deoraisa or a din Derabbanan. The Pnei Yehoshua, right, comes. Pnei Yehoshua was the Rav in Frankfurt, down the street, right?
Amsterdam,
that's a lot. What? The German Jewish community, down the street, is from Frankfurt am Main. The Pnei Yehoshua was the Rav there, no? I mean, around 300 years before that. But okay, that's still good. So Pnei Yehoshua says that there's another dispute, a second dispute between Rashi and Tosfos, which is what? Right? And there's the Pnei Yeshua sort of working in the opposite direction, I would say. How come Rashi doesn't say like Tosfos? The reason why Tosfos doesn't say like Rashi is because Tosfos holds that Meshav Aved is the Rabbanan. And Rashi holds that Meshav Aved is the Raisa. That's one point. How come Rashi doesn't say like Tosfos? Or the Migo explanations, a very good explanation. We know that there's a concept of Migo. We even know Chora that Migo is a Oraisa concept. So why is it that Rashi says Meshiv Aveda instead of our dear beloved friend Migo? That's a Pnei Yeshua's kasha. So what's a Pnei Yeshua answer? Avi, you remember?
That it was in the case of Tosfos, it was that the owner, that the guy who the boss called, he went over to the guy and said, just like in Aveda, and he said, "Why I owe your father money."
You're getting too far ahead. No, getting too far ahead. More basic. The reason Rashi does not run like Tosfos, right? Again, according to Tosfos, the Gemara's kasha is how come Moedav Mitzvah swears? Let's say that there's no Shavua, that Migu, that I could have been Kofar HaKol, I should not have to swear. So Tosfos says, so the Pnei Yehoshua says something very basic. Pnei Yehoshua says that Rashi disagrees with Tosfos because Rashi holds like the Re Ibn Migash. Who's the Re Migash? The Re Migash is the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. No? The Rambam's father was named
Maimon.
Right? He's Moshe ben Maimon, so his father is named Maimon. So Maimon is a student of the Re Migash. The Re Migash was held in unbelievable esteem by the Chachmei Sfarad, so much so the Rimagash is like a contemporary of the Rif, by the way, if you do that math that way, so much so that the Ramban writes about the Rif that the Rif said that there are three mistakes that the Rimagash made. That's unbelievable to say that about a person. He only made three mistakes. The Rif is saying that the Rimagash made three mistakes. The Rimagash was viewed as viewed in unbelievably high esteem. So the Pnei Yeshua wants to say that Rashi holds like a famous shita of the Re Migash, that what? The Re Migash tells us that Migayd le'aturei mishavua lo'yamrinon. Meaning to say that the concept of Migo only works to say that I don't owe you money. But Migu does not work in the realm of Shavuas. Migu la'afture in Shavua lo amrinon. Zatari Megash, quoted by the Rush, Perek Zayin of Shavuas, Simon Gimel. Right? Now you see why we give you all the
marmots.
What?
As opposed to Mammon.
As opposed to Mammon. By Mammon, we say Migu. By Shavua, we don't say Migo. And therefore, says the Pnei Yehoshua, Rashi can't understand that the Gemara's Kasha is. How come Moed David Mitzvah swears? There should be a Migo that you don't swear. Because Migo never helps to say I don't swear. Migo la'afture mishavua la'yaminan. That's what the Rimagash is saying. And says the Pnei Yehoshua, Rashi holds like the Re Ibn Migash. Now, of course, we got to understand these shitos, and that is the next 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Yehuda?
If Rashi didn't say that Mishma Veda was a Shavua with the Raisa, he had nothing to say.
What?
If Rashi said that Mishma Veda was a Shavua with the Rabbanon, he had nothing to say.
Had Mishma Veda been to Rabbanon, then we wouldn't understand Rashi at all.
He wouldn't have a comment.
What?
He wouldn't have a comment. How would he explain Midaraisa?
Right.
The proof that he...
Yeah, correct. In other words, so there are really two points of machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. No? One point relates to, is Meshav Aveda a Midaraisa or a Rabbanon? Point two is, do I say Migu la'afture mishavua? Rashi says that there is no such thing as Migu to pater from Shavua. Migu only paters from Mammon. Tosfos says that Migu paters from Shavua also. Now, in Svara, why would I say that Migu only helps by Mammon, not by Shavua? Why would I say that?
Because it's shua, you're not going to say, oh, I could have made this shua as opposed to saying this shua. Mamon, you can say that because no one's saying that. Shua is a more scarier thing to say that about.
Yeah, shua is scarier, but I need a better reason. Not
shua,
just...
by definition, you can't say that.
Why?
Because then you're swearing that you would have sworn something else, which makes your swear false.
I want to say a little differently than you. I want to say a little different. Why is it that Migul helps by Mammon? I say you owe me money. You say I'm potter. You say you're potter, I should say. And you have a Migul while you're potter. So Migul by Mammon, is Migul absolute proof? Or is Migul just that we create a suffix? Who wants to bring me a raya? Is Migul absolute proof or not? Like, Migul means believe me, because if I would lie and say X, Y, and Z. But is Migul an absolute proof? We spoke about this once.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not. How do I know it's not? Because we have a song that Migul lechotzi layamino. Taisa says on Beis Amaral. The fact that I can't say Migul to take money away from you means that Migul is not absolute proof. Migul is just enough proof that when I'm holding on to the money, it will stay by me because I created some doubt. Right? Migul is, right, proof that I'm not lying, but not absolute proof that I'm not lying. Good?
You're so suspect.
Right. Suspicious, suspect, however you say it. That's what Migul is. Now, when it comes to mumminess, I'm going to say they have a question. So the money will remain by the muhsik because of Migul, because we created a question. By Yeshuvua, though, says the Yimagash, the whole Yisod of Yeshuvua is, why am I asking you to swear? I'm asking you to swear because I think maybe you're telling the truth, maybe not. So swear, and you will clarify if you're telling the truth. Correct? That's what a Shavua does? Now, Migul won't help anything. Because what's Migul going to do? Maybe I'm telling the truth because I have a Migul. Or it's likely I'm telling the truth. But it doesn't matter. Because the whole reason why I'm asking for a Shavua is not because I was saying for sure you're lying, right? But I'm asking for clarification. And the Migul doesn't fully clarify. A Shavua fully clarifies. So comes along the Rimagash and Rashi. And then Migash and Rashi say, Migul after a Mishvua layaminon, because since a Shavua, the Chiyuv is always out suffik, we want to be Mevarer. And Migul, it only creates a state of suffik, it doesn't create a Vadai, so Migul won't help in the realm of Shavua. That's the pshat in the Rimagash. Now there is so much more to say about the Rimagash is Raya and the Rasha's Kasha in the Rimagash. I'm not sure if I want to give another shir on this on Sunday or not. We will have to decide. But this is just the basics of the sugya. You got to know the Pnei Yehoshua. You got to know that Rimagash. Right? I'm telling you. If anyone asks you if you're learning Bava Metzia, you'll say yes. Good. And if anyone asks you, what are you offering? They say, what about the Rimagash? You better know the Rimagash. Right? The Pnei Yeshua is saying that Rashi holds like the Rimagash. Okay, guys, have a good day. And we'll pick up.